Ladies, gentlemen, football fans everywhere, welcome to Week 13 action. I'm Kyle, the student of the game. To my right, the wonderful, the loyal, the very knowledgeable, the completion of the GFM Trust, Weasel and Chris. Weasel, remind the public at large what GFM stands for.
Great Football Minds.
You better know it, fools. That's right. Speaking of great football minds, let's talk about Jason Garrett.
Jason Garrett.
With that, now, to kind of set it up a little bit, the NFC East, all teams managed to lose this week in the NFC. Sorry if we gave some of it away for you. But one of them was indeed Jason Garrett, the great football mind that is, who managed to tank to the Arizona Cardinals. But there are some reports that the game was won at one point. I believe it was real late in the fourth quarter. The Cowboys were driving, 24 seconds left on the clock, and they had just completed a play to the 49-yard line with two timeouts left. At this point, gentlemen, what do we do?
Call a timeout.
Call a timeout. Thank you, Chris. Excellent clock management. And according to Giants fans, better clock management than Tom Coughlin, which is an untrue stigma, but I digress. And then you go, you open fire for the next play, try to get closer, give your team time to reset, all that happy stuff, right? No, no. GFM Jason Garrett goes over and instructs, well, not goes over and instructs Tony Romo, but goes with the strategy of spiking the ball. So with a 49-yard kick in tow, the ball spiked, about, call it 7 seconds or so left. Then, at this point, since the ball was spiked, all the players have to rush to the line. Now, the sports media at large is saying everywhere that, what, he iced his own kicker.
He iced his own kicker.
He called timeout, which stopped a kick from 49 yards out. That split the uprights pretty darn smoothly. Well, since we know that the Cowboys lost the game, the next one he missed, a little bit left and short, going into overtime where the Rod Stevens Howling goes ape on a screenplay, gets a touchdown, Cardinals win. Now, the defense that Jason Garrett issues is, oh, well, I called the timeout because we were worried about the play clock running out and getting knocked 5 more yards back and putting it out of that 50-yard, putting it behind that 50-yard line marker that we were in front of. Because, you know, a 49-yarder, that's a gimme, right? And at any rate, to set that up, or to prevent from being knocked back behind the 50, he calls timeout because the play clock had about 6 seconds left and the guys weren't settled in and all that stuff. First of all, pop quiz on this. Do you buy it?
He had to make up some excuse. I mean, I think it's
I'm going to take that as a no. Chris?
No.
Okay. But let's give him that. Let's pretend we'll give him the Indomitian Sioux thing with the pushing on the helmet of the head before the stomp.
I was trying to get up.
We'll let him have that. If he had just called timeout like he was supposed to on the previous play, the linemen or the players in general, I say the linemen because, you know, me being a fellow fat man, I assume it was difficult for them to line up because they had to run up or whatever, but the team wouldn't have been rushing, and on top of all of that, you would have had an opportunity to get the ball closer for a kick that was already made the first time before the icing, if you will. That would have easily been made then because it would have been closer to the field goal, right? Because he made the 49er, he could be assumed then that he got closer. So, I think, do we put all of that on Jason Garrett? Not to mention, he's coaching a game where he's only able to tie the Cardinals? I mean, we're talking about firing Andy Reid. I've heard whispers today for the first time that people want to fire Raheem Morris suddenly. Lovie Smith's on the chopping block. But no one's talking about firing Jason Garrett?
I think part of the reason is because there's still a game up on the Giants.
That's true.
If you're kind of winning, you don't fire him, but...
So what you're saying, Weasel, is if he makes the playoffs, we don't give a damn.
No.
And I think you're right.
I mean, people, if you win, people forget. So.
Good call. Weasel, or Chris, you got anything to add?
Well, one thing is they had 7 seconds left. You can still run one more play on there if you still have timeouts.
If you throw an incomplete pass and there's not a sack,
You just do a three-step drop and hit an out pattern. If it's not there, just throw the ball over his head.
But remember, a 49-yarder is a gimme, so...
Right, but I'm still saying, it's still 7 seconds left. He uses timeout number two right on his kicker when he could have just... Here he spiked the ball to stop the clock. You got 7 seconds. Call up a quick out. You get it about 5 more yards closer.
He's like an offensive guru, too.
Yeah, right. He was a former coordinator that was paid a lot of money to stay around and be a coordinator. Excellent point, Weasel. Yeah.
So he could have ran, 7 seconds is like eternity in the NFL.
Oh, well,
just take a three-step drop and quick slant or something, have him drop down and call a timeout.
And when you got another timeout, it certainly
right.
is. That's a good point.
Timeout is...
Because they still had 2 more timeouts at that time.
Right.
The biggest thing is that a lot of times you have to call an out pattern to get out of bounds. In this instance, you didn't have to. You can call that slant or whatever because you have the timeout.
Hell, if you wanted to be really tricky, you could even run. Not that I would recommend doing that, but it was an option for them because they had that timeout, right?
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah, I would have just held them up for the 7 seconds then if I ran the ball.
Yeah, right? Said, and 4, 5, and down. Okay, yeah. But at any rate, there was a lot of talk of a 49er, which will segue us nicely to the 49ers being officially the first team to clinch this season in the NFL. Welcome to the playoffs, 49ers. Right behind them, after the Lions lost, the Packers clinched themselves. And we'll talk more about both those games later. But I believe we all had the Niners doing bad, and now there's very serious talk that they may make it to Conference Championship Sunday. I don't know if I'm in that camp, but...
If you think about it, how many games do they have to win to get there?
Okay.
One.
Well, right. Today, if the playoffs started today, they got to win one game. But the Saints are at their heels, and I'm not sure the Niners are going to win out. Because
yeah.
they got a game against the Steelers coming up. That's pretty tough.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, at any rate, I believe that's all our homeroom points for the moment. Class is in session, starting off with Weasel's Vikings facing off Jesus's Broncos. Weasel, go!
The Broncos, amazingly, are tied for first place with the Raiders in the AFC West with a 7-5 record after starting season 1-4 with their road victory against the Vikings 35-32. For the Vikings, rookie quarterback Christian Ponder was 29 of 47, 61%, 381 yards, 3 touchdowns, 2 INTs. The Broncos' first score was off an interception return for a touchdown by linebacker Mario Hagan. He was sacked 3 times and lost a fumble.
Worthy point about Mario Hagan, he was replacing the injured Rookie of the Year candidate Von Miller.
That sucks.
Well, apparently not, because he stepped up pretty big.
Well, still, Von Miller was good.
Yeah, well, I don't know. I don't know that he's going to be out beyond this week,
yeah.
But at any rate.
With Adrian Peterson still out, Toby Gerhart had 21 rushes for 91 yards, 4.3 average, and Percy Harvin had 5 for 19. In the receiving game, Percy Harvin led with 8 catches for 156 yards and 2 touchdowns. Devin Aromashadu had 6 for 90. Tobe had 8 for 42. Rookie wide receiver Stephen Burton had 2 for 38. Tight end Bishante Shenko had 4 for 36. And rookie tight end Kyle Rudolph had a 19-yard touchdown reception.
Rudolph, with your mighty height, catch me a touchdown tonight. By the way, I know you said that Adrian Peterson's hurt, but the fact that you get to say Tobe, that helps you a little bit, doesn't it? I figured it might.
You get to say Tobe twice.
Oh my goodness!
Tobe twice. Ooh. Okay, for the Broncos, Tim Tebow. 10 of 15, 66%, 202 yards. He broke the double century mark. Wow. 2 touchdowns, no INTs.
Is that hay nice smell?
No.
Yeah, oh, okay.
It's like a 20% higher average than all his other games.
Yeah,
well,
it's good.
I mean seriously,
whatever.
20 yards of completion is really good, and he's over 10 yards of completion pretty solidly. But gentlemen, and I know I'm going to give away at least one stat for you here, that one of those includes a 42-yard touchdown pass to Demaryius Thomas. So it kind of jumps his number up a bit. But nonetheless, give him his credit where it's due. Weasel?
He was sacked twice but did run in a 2-point conversion. Last week against the Chargers, Tebow rushed 22 times for 67 yards. This game, 4 scrambles for 13 yards.
Make them count. Although one of them included
a
2-point
conversion. Yeah.
That's right.
I know you don't like NFL rating, QB rating,
yeah,
or anything
right,
like that.
Right.
Tebow had a 149.
Yeah.
Oh my God. It's retarded.
Two touchdowns, no INTs.
Yeah, he was 67%.
And the perfect score is like 154.3 or something, right? Yeah. Something stupid like that. But 141?
I think it's like 145, 149.
Was what he got.
Is what it said on here.
It's pretty nice.
I think perfect is like 160-something, I think, actually.
Whatever it is. Right. I mean, the point is, so, I mean, even though the stat's ridiculous, it's interesting to see how it accounts for what he's doing there. Weasel?
Now, in the running game, first drive of the game for the Broncos, they were pinned at their own one off a Viking spun. Willis McGahee was tackled in the end zone for a safety.
Jared Allen being the factor that we all said he would be.
Right. McGahee finished with 20 rushes for 111 yards, 5.6 average, with a touchdown. Lance Ball had 7 for 25, 3.6 average. In the receiving game, Eric Decker had 3 catches for 65 yards and a touchdown. Jeremiah Johnson had 2 for 24. Tight end Dante Rosario had a 23-yard reception, and tight end Daniel Fells had a 19-yard catch.
Are you missing someone?
I'm missing it. I'm missing someone.
What do you got, Chris?
The, what is it? Demaryius Thomas.
Demaryius Thomas, he had 2.
No, he had 4 receptions for 144 yards with 2 touchdowns.
That's right. One of them being that 42-yarder.
Man, that was way
off. You just missed
a
big stat, yeah. The 2 touchdowns is what you're talking about.
Keep going, Weasel.
Boom. So, with 3:06 remaining, the Broncos got the ball down 32-29. With 3 minutes remaining in the game, LeBron James disappears in finals games, but not Tim Tebow this season. He threw 2 passes for 52 total yards in a 133 drive that set up a field goal to tie the game at 132.
To reiterate, what do you get when you combine Tim Tebow and LeBron James? A full game.
4 quarters. Now, Ponder took a little time to set up the game-winning drive for the Broncos as he threw an interception on the first play. They ran down the clock to kick the game-winning field goal by Prater, which no time left in the clock.
And Ponder falls to 0-2 against Tebow.
Oh, 0-2. Oh, right, a college matchup. Yeah. Catch us up.
He only played against him once because his Ponder's junior year, Tebow's senior year, he was hurt. So... Mm-hmm. He only played the first 9 games. I looked it up today because I thought I was like, oh, he's 0-4. But no, he's
0-2. And anyway, also, Jared Allen managed to sack Tebow as well and forced a fumble in that case there, too. So Jared Allen, a factor, but not enough of one. Tim Tebow records his 3rd turnover in his time as a starter. You got something, Weasel?
No, good.
All right. With that, also got to mention a very interesting stat we have here. Denver won the game, was 0-for-1 in the red zone. Very interesting. At any rate, let's head over to our next game, which featured another dynamic quarterback, Dan Orlovsky. Oh, yeah, and some guy named Brady. As the Colts face off against the Patriots. 31-24 was the score, so you kind of got screwed on the spread. You better know that a lot of people betting in Vegas was ticked off at Bill Belichick for starting guys like Matthew Slater on defense. How is a wide receiver on defense? Right, like Belichick's never done that before. I'm not saying. I'm just saying. Played safety. He'd also played some safety some at college and really put him in there, I guess, just, you know. After all the speech that he gave about the Colts, well, it's still a game. We're concentrating on it. Whatever. Kind of a little bit of hypocrisy there. I'm just saying. Anyways. Dan Orlovsky goes 30 for 37 with 81%. Curious. 353 yards, 2 touchdowns, and an INT.
Prevent defense.
It sounds like it. 29 for 38 for Brady, 76%, 289 yards, 2 touchdowns for Tom Brady. On the ground for the Colts, 14 for 41, 3.90 carry was Donald Brown, had the touchdown on the ground. And Delonte Carter, what you got?
2.9.
Thank you. 2.9. And and Delonte Carter had a fumble on his 3 carry day for 20. Or is it Del 1?
Del 1. Yeah.
You still talking about that?
Yeah. Del 1.
I am Del 1. No. On the ground for the Patriots, Stephon Stephen. This S-T-E-V.
Stephon.
That's lame. Uh-huh. Really?
Well, I did play against Pierre Garçon.
I stand corrected. Well done. Stephon Relam. 8 carries for 33 yards, 4.1 a carry. The firm Ben Jarvis Green Ellis goes 6 for 14 has about 2.3 yards to carry. Did, however, manage a touchdown. Keeping it French, gentlemen. Pierre Garçon, 9 catches for 150 yards. And Austin Colley goes 7 catches for 70 yards. Wes the Weapon Welker had 11 catches for 110 yards. Some points for Chris. And Ron Gronkowski, 5 catches, 64 yards, 2 touchdowns, tying him for a single-season record for TDs by a TE at 13.
There's still more season left.
That's right. We'll get into that a little bit later. 10 of 15 for third down for the Colts. 6 for 11 for the Patriots. That's pretty even. But red zone, 3 for 3 for the Patriots. 2 for 3 for the Colts. Probably part of the difference there. Not to mention starting, you know, guys who were first, third, fourth, and fifth stringers and receivers and all this other stuff on defense. Let the Colts think there was hope. Whatever.
Colts won.
21 of the Colts' points were in the fourth quarter in garbage time, by the way.
Right. Colts did lead in possession.
Yes, they did. But since they lost the game, I didn't mention it.
35 for 24, though. I had 11 more minutes of the ball.
Yay, we're going to Hawaii.
Which was all in the fourth quarter.
Speaking of things that looked a little special, I give you the Chiefs facing off against the Bears.
The Bears lost Matt Forte in the second quarter, and the rest of the offense sputtered as the Bears lost the Chiefs 10-3.
Couldn't put it any better than that.
Yeah. I was trying to look for other words, and I couldn't. So, for the Chiefs, Tyler Palco got the start over Kyle Orton. He was 17 for 30, 57%, 157 yards, 1 touchdown, no INT. He was sacked twice. Kyle Orton did play the game. He was 0 for 1, but he left with a hurt index finger.
Yeah, the guy came down right on it, too. I was kind of surprised they didn't throw some pansy flag on it there, too. But I'm glad they didn't, frankly.
For the Bears, Caleb Haney was 11 for 24, 46%, 133 yards, no touchdowns, 3 INTs. He was sacked 7 times.
Okay. That's a lot.
Right. And last week we talked about, look, let's give Caleb Haney a chance. He's playing a crappy team. If you are schooled by Tyler Palco, you fail. Period. Chris?
For the Chiefs on the ground, Dexter McCluster had 9 for 61, 6.8 average. He did have a long of 32, so that drops down to 3.6, which is still pretty good. Still first down if you get three carries.
That's true.
Thomas Jones was 16 for 36, 2.25 a carry. For the Bears, Marion Barber, 14 for 44, 3.1 a carry. Khalil Bell, 4 for 34, 8.5 a carry. He did have a long of 26, so that was 2.7.
Awesome.
Yeah, Matt Forte, like I said, 5 for 12 before he left injured.
And out, looking to be out 2 to 6 weeks, which will be a factor later when we're talking about pickups.
With a sprained MCL.
Right.
For the Chiefs, through there, Dwayne Bowe had 4 catches for 49 yards. Dexter McCluster, 4 for 46 with a touchdown. That touchdown was a 38-yarder that came from a Hail Mary right before the half. And that was a Brian Urlacher. You know, you hit the ball down, and he hit it. Since Dexter McCluster is only like 5 foot tall, he hit it right down into Dexter McCluster just standing there like, all right,
come
I got
on,
it.
Man.
Reminiscent of?
Oh, Mike Brown with the Jacks. Very good, Weasel.
Yeah, it was. And I think Urlacher after this game said, that's what we were taught to do.
And,
yeah, no, you can't fault Urlacher for that.
Right, that was the only touchdown of the game.
But you faltered, what's his name, for the
no,
for the Jets. Hold
for on, but
the Texans,
but,
okay,
but, hold
okay,
on, I got this.
Stop.
I got
game
this.
Winning.
I'll let you
winning.
Have it, but
I got,
let
I
me
got
set
this.
It up a little
but
bit.
The, but the
last, hold on, the last game was Jags-Texans, and that, and you're referring to last season where they had the miracle catch. Jones-Drew tipped it, Mike Brown caught it. Go, Chris.
But the difference between this one is Urlacher hit it straight down to a Dexter McCluster, and the Texan guy hit it forward.
Oh, okay.
Probably, arguably a little bit up as well. Well,
right.
No.
It was
right.
Just straight forward.
It was
just straight forward.
There was not
a
downward
down.
Trajectory. He's right. Absolutely right about that. Very good.
That's okay. The difference between the two.
By the way, I'm going to tell your fiance you were hating.
Huh?
I'm saying.
It's not hating.
It's not hating.
That's
it's corrected.
Saying.
Oh, crap.
And Steve Breston had 5 for 41. For the Bears, Johnny Knox.
Johnny Knox had
5 for 53. Tight end Kellen Davis had 2 for 40. And Devin Hester had 3 for 35. Turnovers, you know, the Bears had those 3 INTs. The Chiefs had 1, which was off of a Jaleel Brown punt return.
Oh, well, fumble, okay.
Yeah, the fumble. My bad. Everything other than that, Bears were 0-for-11 on third down. You're not going to win any games on that.
Not even a little bit. Yeah, hey, but you forgot something, though. What about Earl Bennett, who just got his big contract extension? One catch, 5 yards. Just saying.
He got paid.
And the Chiefs were 7-for-20 on third down.
Yeah, that's excellent.
20.
Against the Bears D, that's a big 30, deal.
35% red zone. They're both, they combined 0-for-4.
You mentioned 7 sacks also for the Chiefs. 3 of them by rookie outside linebacker Justin Houston, rookie out of the U of GA. That's University of
Georgia. Elga?
Uga. Uga. That's right, bitches. What?
You say Uga, I say Elga.
That was a big hit in the prehistoric days, considering that they didn't have instruments, but whatever. Speaking of teams that didn't seem to have instruments, the Raiders didn't seem to have the tools to take on the Miami Dolphins. First time in a long time you've covered a Floridian team, Weasel.
Yeah.
Go get it.
Going into the fourth quarter of this home game for the Dolphins, they led 34-0 over the Raiders. Final score ended up being 34-14.
If we were on Jeopardy, I'd go, I'll take domination for $100, Alex.
Yeah.
And it's got to be a $100 question because it's obvious.
Yeah.
So, yeah, right.
For the Dolphins, Matt Moore was 13-25, 52%, 162 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked once and had 5 scrambles for 22 yards and a rushing touchdown. For the running game, Reggie Bush hit the century mark with 22 carries for 100 yards.
I don't have the stat. Chris, can you find a way to look this up real quick? How many 100-yard games does he have? That's amazing. You go ahead and go on his player page.
This year or total?
Yeah, this year.
Total.
Okay. This year.
We'll get back to it.
Yeah, we'll get back to it. But go to his player page and we'll get that. I'm very curious to hear that. Weasel,
yeah,
go.
Yeah, did have a touchdown. Rookie running back Daniel Thomas had 13-for-73, 5.6 average. In the receiving game, tight end Anthony Pisano had 4 catches for 66 yards. Brandon Marshall had 4-for-60. Devon Bess had 4-for-27 with a touchdown. For the passing game, Raiders had Carson Palmer, 20-of-41, 48%, 273 yards, 2 touchdowns, 1 INT. Late in the third quarter,
Hold on, let me stop you right there real quick, Weasel. Palmer's percentage was lower than what quarterback?
Matt Moore.
More importantly, Tim Tebow.
Tim Tebow. Okay. Late in the third quarter, Dolphins linebacker Kevin Burnett returned that lone interception, 34 yards for a touchdown. Palmer was sacked twice. In the running game, Michael Bush, after having stellar performances with McFadden out, not so much this game. He finished with 10 carries for 18 yards, 1.8 average.
You know what's funny? I was thinking these exact three words, not so much.
Not so much.
And then you said it. It was great. Nothing nice. Very bad.
In the receiving game, Chaz Schillings had 6 catches for 89 yards. TJ Houshmandzadeh sighting.
What?
At a 40-yard touchdown reception. In garbage time. Michael Reese had a 38.
Hold up. What point was it 34-0? Like by the first half or what?
By the end of the
third quarter.
Third quarter.
The whole damn fourth quarter is garbage time. You don't need to tell the people.
Yeah, garbage.
Tenant
Brandon Myers had 3-for-33. Michael Bush had 3-for-27. Darius Hayward Bay had 3-for-23 with a touchdown.
I'm sure you felt better about that because you were pretty sad he was hurt last week.
Yeah.
Anyways.
Okay, I went all the way back. Okay. This year, that was the second 100-yard rushing game. Okay. The other game was against the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
All right. And total 100-yard game since 2006 when he came in the league, 3.
There you go.
Wow.
Doubled it. Boom!
And the other 100-yard game? Giants.
Oh, curious factor there. You think that has to do with their running back, linebacker core?
Back in 2006, I can't think back that far. I don't know.
Yeah,
I'd say so. But that's just me.
It's the Giants, you never know.
Richard Seymour was ejected from this game. Chris, expand upon it.
He got ejected because he was getting blocked about 20 yards away from the ball, and he kind of threw a left-handed hook. And then threw a right-handed, jab.
Was it open-handed?
They were open-handed. It was kind of like the guy kept blocking him. He was trying to get off of him, so he threw a left. And then he kind of, his right
pushed
hand went kind of pushed into the helmet.
Uh-huh.
And that's when they were throwing the flag. I don't think it was an ejectable offense.
They ejected
him? They ejected him just from that.
Would you, let me start here, because I've not seen the video yet, and I'll be honest. First of all, we got the open hand slapping thing, which, I mean, you as a fellow lineman, heck, you actually played some D-linemen compared to me where I didn't. I mean, the open hand paw slap is a genuine defensive line move, is it not?
After a play.
Oh, yeah, the play was over.
It's about the play was like 20 something yards down the field, yeah, all along the side, and he's in the backfield and getting blocked still is against Incognito.
Okay, well, and who has a bit of a reputation for being a dirtier guy too? I might add.
Oh yeah, Seymour.
No. Incognito, not Seymour.
Incognito has a reputation for being
Seymour. Seymour's, by comparison, has a pretty clean name.
More
not necessarily.
Well, let me put it this way. I think, based on what I've heard, and I could have it wrong, Incognito is kind of the Cortland Finnegan of the O-line amongst the league. So saying Seymour has more scrutiny is a little strong.
But he's been ejected in the past.
He's been ejected, I think, 3 times since last season.
So.
Oh, I didn't realize it was that much. Yeah. Okay. You might be right.
I know he got ejected last year in one of the Raiders games.
Yeah, that I do remember.
Throwing a punch.
I didn't know it was 3 times, though.
But I think it's been 3 times.
So basically, it's D-bag on D-bag right now. Okay.
But it wasn't, I don't think it was an ejectable offense.
I don't either.
It wasn't like he stomped on a guy or kicked a guy in the balls or something.
Or
but
like
or
a certain Brian Robinson.
It was more like a get off me type push.
Get off me.
It was a push, essentially, because when two players get at it, I mean, when you get a fist, this wasn't like a punch.
Okay, well, Chris and I have a bias here, and like, because from what I heard, I wouldn't have ejected the guy either. Let me ask you to take the bias out of it. Do you think he should have been ejected?
No.
Okay.
No.
You didn't have the bias in it either because he didn't care about either team.
No, but we had the bias this time because we're big guys.
Yeah.
Know. Okay. Weasel plays lockdown corner and, you know, key receiver like Steve Smith.
Weasel Island.
I love it. Speaking of people who were the only people there, it looks like the Steelers were the only people in the stadium as they faced off against the Red Rifle and the Bengals. Weasel, go
Steelers,
ahead.
Steelers, at home, completed their sweep of the Bengals, crushing them 35-7.
Crushing them. How does 35, for those who want the pop quiz, 35-7, reminiscent of what score? What the Ravens beat the Steelers by in week one. So this is interesting turnaround. Now that the games count, the Steelers are like, it's all like Donkey Kong.
The first game did count, too.
Good call, Lisa, my bad. But when I say it still counts, it's going to be interesting to see, because if the Ravens dawdle like they have, for example, against the Seahawks or the Titans, if they dawdle like that, they could still miss the playoffs. Playoffs, having swept the Steelers. Wouldn't that be a hell of a note?
Yeah.
If you're Ray Lewis, how pissed are you if that happens? Yeah. Not that it's going to, but it's possible.
Yeah, so it's not like college. Also, that games kind of matter.
I like that. See, it's funny because there's a rematch for the championship, but we're not going to talk about that because, well, we live in a world where there's a playoff. Hint.
Playoffs?
Playoffs? At least they have a game. Anyways, go ahead, Weasel.
For the Steelers, Big Ben Roethlisberger was 15 of 23, 65%, 176 yards, 2 touchdowns, no INTs. He was sacked 3 times. In the running game, Rashard Mendenhall had 16 rushes for 60 yards, 3.8 average, with 2 touchdowns. Isaac Redman had 8 for 51, 6.4 average.
Can we talk really quick about Isaac Redman? That dude runs like a man. Let me tell you, this guy should be in an Old Spice commercial. Ray Lewis had his already, so that's fine. But this guy is running through cats, and, like, seriously, the only run I've seen more manly than what Redman does is that LeGarrette Blount thing where he went like 54 yards against the Packers and like 6 guys tried to hit him. I'm just saying.
Yeah. Receiving game. Antonio Brown did have a 60-yard punt return for a touchdown, and he led his team in receiving yards with 2 catches for 67 yards. Mike Wallace had 3 for 38 with 2 touchdowns. Hines Ward had 5 for 30, and tight ends Heath Miller and Wayne and Wesley Saunders combined had 3 for 26. In special teams, the Steelers got their second touchdown early in the second quarter following a lost fumble by Bengals kickoff returner Brandon Tate.
Former Patriot.
Yeah. For the passing game, rookie quarterback Andy Dalton was 11 of 24, 45%, 135 yards, 1 touchdown, no INTs. He was sacked 3 times, all by linebacker James Harrison. Due to the beatdown on the redheaded Bengals quarterback.
Uh-oh. Are you implying that he's the redheaded stepchild?
I said Bengals
Harrison?
Quarterback.
No, I said stepchild. At any rate.
Dalton was benched for Bruce Gronkowski, who was 3 of 6 for 17 yards and an interception. That being said, the Steelers win the turnover battle 2-0.
So if he gets the blot test, it's going to be James. Who do you see here? James Harrison.
Yeah.
That old commercial, Reggie White.
Oh, wow, you're throwing it back.
With the ink blot.
Was that Montana?
Yeah, I think that was Montana.
I have a bias right there. That's why I have to ask. Reggie
the show, White. Yeah, what do you see here? White. Reggie White. This what one? Reggie White. White.
That's funny.
Doing the Rorschach ink block test. I love it. No, wow. Good throwback, Chris. That was nice. Woo. We'll be talking about that later while watching the game tonight. I'm just saying. Weasel, please.
In the running game, Cedric Benson had 13 rushes for 52 yards, 4-yard average. Bernard Scott had 5 for 30. In the receiving game, rookie wide receiver A.J. Green had 6 catches for 87 yards and a touchdown. Tight end Jermaine Gresham had 3 for 37. And Brian Leonard had 4 for 20.
So, yeah, I mean, the complete domination of the Ginger is certainly a factor here. James Harrison himself had as many sacks as the Bengals team. And just so I can continue to make this joke, Dalton's stats worse than which quarterback?
Tim Tebow.
Steelers were 4 for 4 in their end zone.
Yeah, good stat, Chris.
Bengals
well
1 for 2. Bengals also had 10 penalties for 109 yards.
Yeah, you definitely beat me to that one. That was a good stat.
Frustration.
Yeah, good call, Weasel. I mean, but still, if you're the Bengals, look, there are plenty of times where we talk about the AFC South, and I'm specifically referencing the Titans, the Jags, the Texans. Their life sucks, or used to suck, I should say, because Peyton Manning existed. How much is it not fair for the Bengals when you're kicking this much butt and you're going to miss the playoffs because it's not just the Ravens, it's the Steelers too. Seriously. What are they calling in soccer, Chris? The group of death in the elimination round? That's not fair. Anybody who wants to throw this garbage about the NFC North being the best division in the league, and for a week or two I drank that Kool-Aid, I'll admit it. You can't anymore. You just can't. Not today. Could change in a few weeks, but I doubt it. If it does change in a few weeks, because Forte's hurt and Sue is suspended, it ain't going to be the NFC North that's the best division. Pop quiz. Anybody going to even come close? I don't think so either.
No.
Okay?
Nope.
Speaking of teams that didn't come close, and also referencing Ndamukong Suh's suspension, I don't know if it mattered, but the score is an indicator as the Saints topple the Lions 31-17. Matt Stafford, the quarterback for the Lions, went 31 for 44, about 70%. 408 yards with a touchdown, had an INT. Drew Brees, people argue he's the second place MVP candidate, but I'll pop quiz this later. 26 for 36, 72%, 342 yards with three touchdowns. On the ground, UCF grad Kevin Smith, 6 carries, 34 yards, 5.67 a carry with a touchdown. His long was 32, but that's still 5 for 7, or 32.
17.
What kind of math is that? Thank 17. You. 17. I know. I got a college edumacation. Oh my God. That's embarrassing. I wish you'd let me repair that myself before you shouted in 17, because I was getting there. No. Hey, that's good. I'm glad you did it, but I'm just mad at me. Five for 17 without his long of 17. See what I did there? 3.2 a carry. Mark Ingram, who at this point, I will eat a small serving of crow for this kid. 16 carries for 54 yards, 3.4 a carry with a touchdown. Nate Burleson in the air for the Lions, 5 catches, 93 yards. Megatron had an appearance, 6 catches for 69 yards.
Hooray.
While Maurice Morris had a touchdown on his 5 catch day for 47 yards receiving, also had 12 carries rushing for 28 yards, 2.3 a carry. Among the Saints receivers, Robert Meacham, 3 catches, 119 yards with a touchdown. Jimmy Graham had 8 catches for 89 yards, his first one without a touchdown in quite a while. And Darren Sproles had 5 catches, 46 yards with a touchdown. And Lance Moore, 2 catches for 23 yards. Not impressive there, but he did get on the board with a touchdown. You got something, Weasel?
Yeah.
Okay. So on the day, I find it ironic that the Saints managed more sacks than the Lions. However, Nick Fairley, without Ndamukong Suh's assistance, still got many tackles, was a huge factor in the first half of the game before the Saints opened it up. Excuse me. And he also managed to set one of the 2 sacks on the day. I think the problem actually is, as we've all discussed it before, That road passes through Megatron, though Burleson made some impact with his 5 catches for 93 yards. 2 for 11 on third down versus 6 for 12 on third down. 18% versus 50%. You're going to get beaten like a redheaded stepchild. Both teams scored twice in the red zone, but conversion rate for the Lions, 2 for 3, while the Saints went 100%, turning red zone trips into touchdowns. Kind of a big deal that when you're trying to play D, and yeah, the Lions, no offense, Chris, I know you had them making the playoffs in the preseason. I think Ndamukong Suh's disappeared.
No, I had him just missing.
So did I.
I couldn't get him an 8th win. I had an 8 or 9th win.
Yeah.
I had him 8-8, but I couldn't get him a 9th win. I just couldn't do it.
I think I had him at 8-8 or 7-9 myself, and we're looking pretty solid on that as well.
Rest of our picks suck, but...
Yeah, well, you know what? I mean, we look stupid on the Eagles and the Niners. I don't mind so much. We missed the Niner pick. I'm just saying. And as a Giants fan, look, the Eagles doing bad is helping the Giants out.
I have the Giants not making it. You did, though.
So. I have the Giants making the wild card either way, so I'm looking like a genius. Matt Forte getting hurt, making me look like a genius.
Yeah, I had the Bears not in it also, so.
I don't remember if I... No, I didn't.
I had 3 coming from the NFC South.
I had the Cardinals missing. Yeah, I forgot about that. At any rate, you mentioned the NFC South. This is an NFC South matchup. The Carolina Panthers facing off against the Tampa Bay Bucks. Quite a bit of a bit...
Creamsicle.
They went creamsicle. Good call with the uniforms. Weasel, I believe you used the term domination?
Yeah, you can say that.
No, you can use that here too. 38-19. And if memory serves, the spread for this game was less than a touchdown, and they favored the Bucks. I don't know who you got in Vegas, but you're messing up. Well, I almost used the wrong word there. The FCC would have been ticked. Good thing we're on the internet. At any rate, Cam Newton going 12 for 21, 57%, 204 yards with a touchdown passing. Running, however, bit different story. 14 carries for 54 yards, 3.1 a carry, 3 more touchdowns. The dude had 4 touchdowns on the day. I mean, seriously.
Nah, he shouldn't get rookie of the year.
I see what you're doing there. It's not fair when you pick a week the Dalton got beat 35-7. Shut up.
It's and he pretended it was a laptop under his arm.
See, it's funny because he did stuff in UF and anyways. Also, he does currently hold the record for rushing touchdowns by a quarterback in a single season. Currently, as in, there's still 4 more weeks in the flipping season.
Isn't he tied, or do you...
No, he doesn't beat it. The record was 12. Oh. What do you got, Weasel?
He's got 13, and yeah.
So that's impressive. It, son. Pretty impressive. Yes, quite. We were talking about his ability to run being the difference. So, going to the Bucks, Josh Johnson played due to the injury to the hand of Josh Freeman. 16 for 27 for Josh Johnson, 59%, 229 yards with a touchdown and an INT. On the ground, Jonathan Stewart, 14 carries for 5.7 to carry. I'm blowing that stat up. I'll come back to it.
What was it?
Jonathan Stewart had 14 carries.
Yeah,
5.7 average. What was his total carries?
80 yards.
80 yards. There we go. I don't have that part memorized. I didn't write it down. With a touchdown, we talked about Cam Newton's running earlier. He was the second best in yards. Josh Johnson on the ground for the Bucks, 5 catches for 45 yards. And apparently, the Panthers' D got high. I don't mean like riled up. I mean like high because they smoked the blunt. 11 carries for 19 yards. I've been waiting all day to say that. probably about 1.7 a carry there. Brian LaFell.
Brandon,
thank you. I was going to say
right
Brandon.
The first time.
Dang it.
Nope. Second guess you.
I know. I was still in the game. I know this. 3 catches for 64 yards. Your guy, Legadoo Nani, may not have completed a pass earlier. He did complete a pass to Cam Newton for 23 yards, rather. But also...
27, you're right the first time again.
Oh, my gosh! I'm so awesome, I can't believe how awesome I am!
I can't believe in yourself.
Thank you, Weasley. You've touched my heart. My heart, you pervs. Anyways, Legadoo Nani did have 2 catches as well for 38 yards and a touchdown. And I even have it in my notes wrong then. Because it says 27 yards in my notes.
That's right.
Oh, that is right. Okay.
Yeah.
I don't even believe in my notes. I can't respect myself. At any rate, Mike Williams had 5 catches for the Bucs for 93 yards, but Desmond Briscoe, 1 catch, 23 yards, did manage a touchdown in the air for the Bucs. Gentlemen, here's your difference maker, red zone. I didn't bother with third down. I didn't bother with time of possession. Red zone, 0 for 1 for the Bucs. 5-4-5 for the Panthers. No more need to be said.
And Weasel, what's that?
100%.
More importantly,
good.
That's right. Defensive tackle Brian Price ejected in this game for a personal foul in a crucial situation. He was then sent to the locker room afterward. Not ejected, mind you, but Raheem Morris was like, "Hey, screw you, guy. Go home. Nah, screw you. Home." In the post game press conference, he said, "I told him to go to the locker room. I told him to go home." He screwed up in a crucial situation. Basically, it was a lighter version of Mike Singletary's "I want winners" speech, in my opinion. But we fired Mike Singletary. At any rate, speaking of coaches who really don't have anything to answer for at all, this game coming up that we're about to talk about, neither coach should be ashamed. I got Packers-Giants. I got what was a really good game that just ended. Well, it was unfortunate someone had to lose this game. It was a good game. Chris, what do you got?
Aaron Rodgers got the ball on his own 20 with 58 seconds left with the game tied, and in 4 plays, he took the pack to the Giants 12, and Mason Crosby kicked the game winner to beat the Giants 38-35.
Couldn't have done that against the Saints, huh?
For the pack, Aaron Rodgers, 28 for 46, 61%, 369 yards, 4 touchdowns, 1 INT. The INT came in the red zone.
Yes.
And he was sacked twice.
Absolutely.
Eli Manning, 23 for 40, 58%, 347 yards, 3 touchdowns, 1 INT, and 1 lost fumble, and he was sacked once.
However, that INT balances Aaron Rodgers because it, too, was returned for 6 by Clay Matthews.
All right. For the pack on the ground, A-Rodge had 4 for 32, 8-yard average. Ryan Grant, 13 for 29, 2.23. An average. For the Giants, Brandon Jacobs, 8 for 59, 7.4 a carry with a touchdown. And Ahmad Bradshaw, 11 for 38, 3.5 a carry. Through the air, Greg Jennings had 7 for 94 with a questionable touchdown catch.
Ah.
You want to get into that now? Or you want to get into
we'll do it towards the end. Okay.
Jordy Nelson, 4 for 94. Jermichael Finley, 6 for 87 with a touchdown. And Donald Driver had 4 for 34 with 2 touchdowns. For the Giants, Victor Cruz, 7 for 119. Hakeem Nicks, 7 for 88 with 2 touchdowns. And one of those touchdowns was a one-hander that even got props from Charles Woodson, who was dragging yep. in the end zone.
Yeah, but Woodson gives him a little fist pump afterward. It was a great catch. And, you know, big-time class there for Woodson. I will give him a mark for giving those props. I believe he also left the game early. Not early, but he left the game for a bit because he took a head injury. And it was Keith Everett style, for those of you who don't remember. That's the bill that ended up getting paralyzed because he led with his head down. Well, Charles Woodson had to leave the game because he did the same thing trying to tackle a running back. I don't know that it was something as stupid as trying to do that on Brandon Jacobs.
You gotta go low for...
Low backs. Isn't the issue. It's going
shoulder?
Head down and first. You gotta keep your head up.
Oh, really?
You gotta be okay. Looking at it, not with your head looking at the ground.
Ah.
You know, I will individually brief you on this after the show to show
nice.
You more specifically.
Nice. Makes sense.
But yeah, you gotta keep your head up because there's less damage and you can actually see what you're doing. Chris, go ahead.
And Travis Beckham had 1 catch for 67 yards and a touchdown. That touchdown was the 3rd play of the game, 167 yards. And Jake Ballard had 3 for 47. Difference in this game, I mean, there's both teams are good in the third down. 7 for 12 for the Packers, 5 for 11. That's 58% for the Packers, 45% for the Giants. Red zone, 4 for 5 and 3 for 4. Both of those were the INTs.
Yeah.
Let's see. Yards, first downs, they're about even. Time of possession, 7-minute difference. What I was impressed in this game was, you know, Hakeem Nicks touchdown and then one of the Donald Driver's touchdowns that, you know, Donald Driver caught the ball dragging his feet on the
bounce. Oh, yeah.
But Corey Webster went over and shoved them out of the back of the end zone first that the ref just watched and let play. They could have thrown a flag for illegal contact.
Probably.
But, you know, that was the same thing with the Hockey Knicks touchdown with Charles Woodson. It was all over.
It was crawling all over him.
Could have thrown a hold or whatever. Still made it one-handed catch.
But I'll give Woodson a pass because he gave him the props afterwards for the catch. Now, let's talk a little bit more. It was the Greg Jennings catch. Chris, go ahead and start this off if you want.
Well, this catch was, how far was it? It was almost like the Jermaine Grisham catch, minus going to the ground a couple weeks ago.
Also, going further back to the whole thing with the Calvin Johnson piece as well. Again, the difference being going to the ground.
Okay, it was a 20-yard pass. It was against rookie Prince Akamura.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Jennings is going to the end zone. He kind of was bobbling the ball a little bit. It didn't look like he had straight possession of it, and in the back of the end zone, Prince Akamura smacked his hands, and the ball came out of the end zone. They still called it a touchdown.
In my opinion, the ball never stopped moving in his hands, from what I saw.
Huh.
Yeah, it didn't look like it stopped moving at all. Even the announcers were saying it. It's one of those things, if he would have gone to the ground, they would call it incomplete. He never really had possession, it looked like. I mean...
Now, I don't know how you guys feel about Mike Piera or whatever. The former VP of Rules and Officiating for the NFL, now an analyst for Fox, a rules analyst for Fox, if you can believe that. He said it was because Jennings wasn't going to the ground. Here's the problem. There are never two firm hands. There is never firm control of that ball. It just isn't there. I don't care if you're going to the ground. I don't care if you're standing straight up. I don't care if you're running like Forrest Gump. I don't care if you're doing the can-can. That wasn't possession. Now, me, Calvin Johnson example, the Gresham example, and even this, philosophically, I believe all three of them are touchdowns. I do. According to rule and past precedent and the calling of things like this involving the possession of a ball, Gresham and Megatron both had single hand control of the ball and had ability to basically wave around their head with one hand. Kyle Rudolph's touchdown in the Vikings game, he didn't have two hands on it himself, but was able to wave it around with one hand. That shows me stronger possession than anything that happened in the Jennings catch, but we got a touchdown. If I'm a Giants fan, I am ticked. This game mattered. It's basically keeping you out of first place right now this week. It's keeping the Packers undefeated. Now, a lot of people said that this was reminiscent of the Patriots game a number of years back when the Patriots would go 18 straight with one giant loss. See what I did there? Do you see that happening in the Conference Championship Sunday? Today? Possibly. They got to get there first, obviously.
Yeah.
Yeah, the score at the time, it was 3rd and 9. For that, the score was 20-17. It would have made it 23-17. The next possession, 6 plays, Giants scored a touchdown. So they would have been up 24-23 instead of down 28-24.
And in truth, this was only a 20-yard touchdown. So perhaps they still would have scored. That's very true that the Packers may still have scored. But even still, I got to call some BS because if nothing else, I can philosophically argue with the officials all we want. We had a good discussion a number of weeks back about the Jermaine Gresham of the Bengals catch. And we each had 3 different interpretations of it. That's a rule book problem. This is an officiating problem. That's right. I've said it. But in the instance of calling things official, let's go over to our pick-ems. It's time to hit the study hall, gentlemen. And officially... Weasel's probably doing a little bit better, I guess. Chris, what do you got?
He's doing better against me, but you are on the year, you're 73% of your picks are right.
Not bad.
I am.
And this is picking exactly 100 games.
Exactly 100 games right now, not going into tonight.
Yeah, okay.
It's been 100 games. I am 69%.
All right.
And Weasel is 66%. So
that's not bad, dude.
If you want to break it down, you're 4 games up on me, and I'm 3 games up on Weasel. So you got a 7 game on Weasel.
You gained a game? Son of a!
He might gain one more tonight because we both have the Jags. You got the Chargers. So
you guys picked that dumpster fire?
Yes. Well, we didn't know if Jack Del Rio was going to get fired for one. That happened on Tuesday.
It really did, yeah.
But also, I went because the Chargers don't travel well like the Raiders.
I'll say it now because we won't have another opportunity to do it for a week. If you guys picked that game right, hey, you know what? Props to you, because I never would have seen it happening. I mean, how desperate do I have to be to pick Phillip Rivers? I'm not saying.
I'm just hoping he gets hurt in the first quarter.
You and me both, question mark? Nah, too real. Anyways, what do we got? Let's get going.
All right. Thursday night, Browns at Steelers.
Anybody?
High five. Next game.
Saints at Titans.
Saints at Titans. Oh, well, look, I don't think...
Titans are 7-5, aren't they?
Are they really? Check their
standings. They're up there.
They're doing better than I think. I know that. But here's the thing.
7-5.
Oh, my God. How'd that happen? Well, other than Peyton Manning, how'd that happen? what do you got for the Texans record?
Texans?
Yeah.
It's Saints versus Titans.
Well, no, I'm asking what the Texans record
Texans
is.
Texans are...
See, that whole divisional thing.
I'm going up. They're right here.
Well, at any
9-3.
Oh, there we go. Okay. At any rate...
They lost Schaub like 3 weeks ago, 4 weeks ago?
Two.
Well,
it was three. They lost so many quarterbacks.
Bye week.
And then Leinart got lost last week. You're right, Weasel. Good call. At any rate, the Saints got too many weapons for the Titans to slow. The Saints managed to get more sacks in a game than the Lions, so that defense isn't exactly stupid. Hasselbeck is okay. He ain't that good. I got the Saints. Chris.
Yeah, I got the Saints. I don't think Titans can be able to do it.
Weasel. Contrarian. Saints. Oh, dang it. I want that eighth game back.
This is, I think, the hardest game. The Bucks at Jags.
That is pretty damn tough. Still, with the complete state of disarray that the Bucks might be in currently, the Jags are worse off. They don't have a coach. They're not even sure if they're going to be in that damn city in 2 years. That defense is nice, but I like Josh Johnson as a backup. He's not bad. I see the factor being perhaps the Jags will smoke the blunt, which is to say that LeGarrette Blount will be stopped. I see some work coming out of the soldier himself, Kellen Winslow, probably some little bit of pass and work you work with Josh Johnson. I'm going to have to pick the Bucks, Chris.
Bucks cost me too much this year. I'm going with the Jags.
He's going with the emotional pick.
Jags. You know, they shut down the Ravens a couple weeks ago. I think they can still keep doing it. You know, even with Del Rio out of there.
They're not the same team they were 2 weeks ago, or however many weeks ago it was.
I'm going to go with the Jags because of that, and then also I knew you were going to pick the Bucks, so I'll just pick
that game. Weasel.
Country from cow.
Hey, if y'all want to keep falling back, that's on
you. Hey.
Now, because I said that, you're going to
make up
game
somehow. Yeah. Eagles at Finns.
I will be in this game in person, and with someone made a pretty good point today when I was talking with Tom and Mike on the afternoon play-by-play, and they had a guest. I didn't catch his name, unfortunately, but he made a pretty good point that the Dolphins might be the best team with a losing record. I said the Bucks on the straight of what they can do when they're clicking, and unfortunately they're without their quarterback, so they're not clicking like the Dolphins are at current. In that spirit, I got the Dolphins in this game because the Eagles are an emotional dumpster fire. They will probably be getting Vic back. I don't think it's going to be quite enough. Chris.
So you got the Finns?
Yeah.
I'm going to go with the Eagles on this one because they are going to get Vic back, and they also might be getting Macklin back as well.
See, this is what I like in my co-host, devotion to the games that we play. This Giants fan wants his games caught up so bad he's picking the Eagles. Weasel.
I'll pick the Eagles too.
Well, y'all gonna be hating life when y'all are 10 games back.
That means the Eagles are gonna lose.
Yeah.
Everybody picks the Eagles. I got the Eagles.
Damn it.
Colts at Ravens.
Anybody?
Yeah.
I just throw you down for the Colts?
Mm-hmm.
Give us a game.
There you go. You feeling that desperate, aren't you?
Pats at Redskins.
It'd be funny, but I got the Patriots.
Patriots.
Yeah, okay, I already felt it did. All right. I got the Patriots as well. Vikings at Lions.
Lions.
I'm going to go with Weasel on this one.
Yeah, make it three across. Bears at Broncos.
Okay. gentlemen, this time last week, I'd have said you've been high to drink the Tebow juice for this game. However, we're out Cutler, we're out Forte, and Caleb Haney has 6 interceptions in 2 freaking games. I don't care how good Julius Peppers is, because it didn't matter against the Chiefs. And the Broncos are a much superior team, by my estimation. And at this point, the Bears are in so much trouble, even the Broncos have more offense than they. I got Jesus. I got the Broncos. Chris.
I got the Broncos as well. Their defense has been playing pretty well lately. That's been helping.
Oh, very well.
So, without Forte, it's a no-brainer.
Forget about it. Weasel.
Broncos.
And we're all drinking the Tebow juice this week. Mike Fracina will be so pissed.
And then Sunday night game, Giants at Cowboys.
Giants at Cowboys. Again, I've said this on this show. I've said this on the afternoon play-by-play when talking with Mike and Tom. On WTMY. Thank you. You can catch them at WTMY.com, 1280 a.m. in Sarasota, Bradenton, Venice. St. Petersburg as well. Very good, Weasel. The NFC East needs to start hiring psychologists on their schedule, because every team in that division has some sort of an identity crisis. Worst off, frankly, being the Cowboys, because one week they're awesome and the next week they suck. Then, you know, we got the whole thing with the Skins, where they started out great with Sexy Rexy and now he's back to being Gross Rexman. And the Eagles, who were supposed to be the dream team, and instead turned into a nightmare. You're welcome, Weasel. I borrowed that. And then the Giants, you got the Saints performance 2 weeks ago. You got the Green Bay performance Sunday. Very confusing team when it comes, division when it comes to identity. That's what makes this game so tough. As tough as the Bucks-Jags game was to pick, this is tougher because you really don't know who's showing up for anything. Now, all of that being said, I have 2 very hungry defensive ends. I don't care if Osiu Mounir's hurt. Sure, it matters. It's nice to have him. But my dude, Jason Pierre-Paul and Justin Tuck, they're the deal. They're going to chase Romo. They're going to hit him. They're going to make him nervous. He's going to make mistakes. I pick the Giants to make the playoffs. They win this game to make it happen. Chris.
I'm going to go Homer and go with Giants as well.
No!
Giants.
Oh, he avoided the contrarian.
No.
I'm so proud of you. Cowboys. I'm going to give you a hug when we're off the air.
Jason Garrett.
You picked against the GFM?
So, the worst Weasel can do is still be 3 games underneath behind me.
All right.
The worst Weasel can do. So, yeah, he matched you every
game? He matched me every game. We have
every
2 games
game.
That's pretty new, because usually it's you and I that match.
Right.
We have 2
games
that are different. To you, yep. Two.
2 games. The Finns and the Bucks, yeah.
This is going to be embarrassing when I'm up on you more than that. I shouldn't do that. I just jinxed myself. Damn it! I'm that kicker. He has never missed a kick this season. Damn!
Yeah. Gary Anderson.
You know something that will never make you miss, though? You will never miss our podcast if you subscribe to us on iTunes or with your email through the website, www.thestudentofthegame.com. Follow us on Twitter. You'll never miss when we post, because it updates there and on our Facebook. You'll know right away when we post. It's great.
It's great.
It's great. You can always comment on the page itself directly, www.thestudentofthegame.com. Gentlemen, one real quick thing. TJ Yates, 9-3 with the Texans. Very interesting that he is a rookie surrounded by talent, and he's won 2 games. Not 6-1 like Tebow, mind you, but certainly worth mentioning. I just wanted to leave that as a closing thought, that the Texans are a threat, may actually make the playoffs. I know that I kept them out, but that's back when I thought Manning might actually play.
I had him making it. I had him winning it.
You did. So, yeah, take your props on that. At any rate, unless you gentlemen have any more thoughts, good session today. Gentlemen, officially at this point, class is dismissed.